Yo, man, this is the third time that I've recorded this because I didn't like the first one and I did not like the second one. Oh my balls. So, you know, whatever. I have finally devised a reason, a based reason, and a cool reason why you should use Linux, why you shouldn't use Linux, how Linux essentially leads you to more freedom, not better privacy, quote unquote, or better security, quote unquote. Contrary to popular belief, Linux isn't more secure than Windows, just like Windows isn't more secure than Linux. If I handed a person with zero experience a Linux, like zero experience with a Linux box, and a person with, you know, maybe subpar experience and common sense, a Windows box, and say the Linux box is not patched or updated, vice versa with like the same thing with the Windows box, the Linux user can have way more way worser time. Security is kind of like a sliding scale where you have to outweigh the pros and cons. There are a lot of glooming issues with Linux that are security problems that will never really be addressed until we get rid of the 500 millionth distro and XYZ maintainers. And privacy isn't always the main point. You know, it's, I think that I got into Linux because I bought a laptop and I ended up pretty much, I couldn't run Windows and I didn't know what Linux was. And I was just going on forums on how to speed up my laptop. I found Ubuntu, installed Ubuntu. After I installed Ubuntu, after I installed Ubuntu, like I just never went back to Windows since, you know, forever. And I never will. I don't like proprietary software. I like free and open source software. I think that open source software, not free as in price, but free as in freedom. I think that is the true based way to live your life. I think proprietary software is a form of digital slavery. Same thing with walled gardens, ecosystems that do not allow you to exit the platform easily and freely and available. They should make a good product. You make a good product, people will not leave. That's all it is. But they should still have the option to leave. It's that simple. And I do not like 16 one-click sign up, 16 steps to fucking remove your data. It is just a problem in the proprietary software. There are some, you could say, some edge cases for proprietary software for a security reason. I think most of them are bullshit, but I am not a security expert. I'm just some guy on the internet with a mic. Now that I've ranted and gooned a little goon, my browser just crashed. That's awesome. This is why I hate Firefox sometimes. Sometimes Firefox is literally the fucking worst. I don't even like Chrome. I think we need a new browser. A browser based in Rust would be the most based option. A Rust-based browser. I know it's in the works and it's happening. And we need a fresh new browser based on Rust with a good, decent, free and open source search engine. And there are options out there. There's like, I think, what is it? I believe it's called CRX. Yeah, they're CRX, and then Brave has their own browser, and I don't know how that the money, I guess like the money would be the hardest. Now, I don't do notes. I mean like a script or anything. I don't do a script, but I have some notes. And I think why Linux, I think to make the case for Linux should be based on, like, you know, obviously this is going to be based on personal experience, and I'm going to link some articles in the show notes. It's been a minute since I've uploaded. I'm going to go back to like uploading like more regularly. I just couldn't, I don't know why, I just recorded it. I thought about it 5 minutes later, and I was like, I fucking hated it, and then I deleted it. But I digress. If someone wants to use Windows or is not convinced, and they respect the, I respect their decision. And I believe choice is the, I believe free and free choice. I think choice should be the option. You should have the choice to install Windows. You should have the choice to install Mac OS. You should have the choice to install Linux, FreeBSD, Haiku OS, Temple OS, whatever the fuck you want. I think you should have the freedom. When you buy the hardware, AKA the laptop, and it is in your possession, you ought to have the right to be able to put whatever you want on that system, because you are now in full ownership of it. You paid, you took the money, you gave them it for the product, it is now yours. Just like if I buy a car, if I buy a car, I should be able to put whatever fucking engine I want in it, as long as I make it work. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to call them about a warranty problem. I'm not going to call them about a pee-pee-poo-poo problem. That is the crust of it. Now, let's go into a little little history of GNU / Linux. What is Linux? What isn't Linux? What is GNU? GNU is the operating system that is free software. That is, respect users' freedom. The GNU operating system consists of GNU package programs specifically released by the GNU project, as well as free software released by third parties. The development of GNU made it possible to use the computer without software that would trample your freedom. It respects your privacy. It respects you as the person. Free as in freedom. There are GNU-based Linux projects, like where there it's completely like free and open source. There, the GNU Foundation, the Freedom Software, Free Software Foundation is kind of insane. They're like extreme, but I think for good reason. Pretty much, you have to understand GNU, you must first understand what is Linux, where did it come from, and I think this should be a bit of history. Now, Linux is the family of open source Unix-like operating systems based on the Linux kernel. It is an operating system kernel, first released in 1991 by Linus Torvald. Typically packaged as Linux distribution, distros, which includes the kernel and supporting system software and libraries, most of which are provided by third parties, to create a complete operating system designed as a clone of Unix and released under the copyleft GPL license. My favorite license is do whatever the fuck, whatever you want, so do whatever the fuck you want, do what the fuck you want public license. That is my favorite. Everyone should use it. That's just my personal take. Many Linux distributions use the word Linux in their name, but the Free Software Foundation recommends using the name GNU / Linux, because Linux is the kernel, GNU is the utilities that make it usable. Essentially, to emphasize the use of importance of GNU software, many distributions causing some controversy. Thousands of distributions exist, mainly based on indirectly or other distributions. This is true. There are too many fucking distros. They're just based on other distros. It is 33 years old. Tux the Penguin, the mascot of Linux, based. And there is thousands of distributions exist, like literally. Many are so you have, you know, Debian, Fedora, Linux, Linux Mint, Arch Linux, Ubuntu, while commercial distributions include like Red Hat Linux, SUSE Linux. SUSE? Other than the Linux kernel, key components that make up the distribution may include a display server, Windows system, and a package manager, and a bootloader, and a Unix shell. Linux is one of the most prominent examples of free and open source software collaboration. While originally developed for x86-based personal computers, it has been ported to many platforms. Come on, RISC-V, please make it through. The Linux was designed by Linus Torvald following the lack of working kernel for GNU, a Unix-compatible operating system made entirely of free software. This had been undergoing development since IT83. Richard Stallman, a working Unix system called Minix, which was released but it was licensed, was not entirely free at the time, which made Richard Stallman do 4 backflips and get angry and start yelling into the void, speaking Spanish. JK. And you can actually go and use, I think, Minix. I think a lot of people in computer science, they like work with it to understand computers at a lower level, if I'm not mistaken. The first entirely free Unix personal computers was an 386 BSD. It did not appear until 92, which at the time Torvalds had already built it and publicly released the first version of the Linux kernel on the internet. And then going forward, there's like a ton of history. You can go into like the Wikipedia and like the creation, the naming. He was originally going to call it Freaks or Freak and X. I don't know. Something with, but somebody like was like, no, just call it, use the word Linux. Linux should be pronounced Linux with a short I, not Linux. I think, what do people say? I think they say Linux for some reason. We say Linux. That's funny. So pretty much the naming, the commercial, and the popular uptake, now servers run it, development, design, etc. And going forward, like people are like, hey, I like this. Let me fork it and recreate it and do other stuff and make my own distro and make my own desktop environment. And that's where like the GNU project came in. It's an extensive collaboration of free software, 394 packages as of June. It's our acronym for GNU is not Unix. There's a history. Components, the system is pretty much basic components, including the GNU compiler, GCC, the GNU C library, glibc, a very based library, core utilities, and then the GNU debugger, etc. There's many projects that are like super, super like free. Like the original kernel of the GNU project is GNU Herd. There's a lot out there, but they're not. Sometimes like they're not compatible with certain software from what I understand. I would like to do a completely free and open source like test run at some point where I just use strictly only GNU free and open source software and see how possible it is. Gaming, I am not super I'm not super familiar with like how it is in gaming. I'm going to be looking around. I do like testing software. I'll just run in a virtual machine, though, because I'm a skits. Now, that's pretty much why I chose Linux. I was fed up with the fact that my laptop couldn't run Windows. I accidentally stumbled across Linux, installed it on my laptop, and I've never went back. I never looked back. I never thought differently. And I've refused to touch or install Windows unless it involves me at work. And that is pretty much my only experience with Windows. I think that the main reason that Linux doesn't have massive popularity is due to the fact that Windows is installed, pre-installed, which kind of sucks and is kind of dog shit in my opinion. I think these vendors should just be neutral. Go back to when people used to be able to just RTFM, read the fucking manual, and learn how to do stuff. I think that is slowly becoming a lost art. I understand that ease of use is important, but Linux is very easy. Now, there are some myths that Linux is hard. There are myths, in my opinion, that there is an easy beginner distro. This is all bullshit. I'm going to go in chronological order. Well, in order, in my opinion. What I think, the myths that people say, and I'm going to go over what I've come across. Linux at 30, 5 minutes that persists a day. I think that these blogs are terrible, though, 99% of them. Like, I don't think most of the people come. I think all these people copy each other, too. Like, I see the same fucking talking points. You do not need to know the command line. That's true. Linux is very difficult to use. I don't think that is it's difficult. It's just like anything. A lot of people don't even fucking know how to use Windows. And it's been around for how long? And, like, boomers are like, I don't know how to use a computer. I'm like, bitch, you were there when computers started. Fuck you. I hate you. You don't even have to fuck. There's, I do not, again, when they point out beginner-friendly distros, I just think that's a bunch of bullshit. There's tons of Linux distros I've hopped to that are, quote-unquote, beginner-friendly. I ran into issues. Pop OS fucking bricked on me twice, and I had to reinstall it. Luckily, I had a backup. Or fix something. I did not like it. I haven't touched Pop OS. No hate against them, but I haven't touched Pop OS in a long time. There's gaming on Linux is easier than it has been in the last 10 years. Fuck, man. I truly have never had the need to I've never had the need to actually sit there and think about actively the games that I've played and think about, like, how am I going to get this to work? Most of the time it works. I think the worst experience I had was with Hitman and DayZ. DayZ, I had to do something funky to get it to work, but then I took a script that would automate this. Hitman 3, when it first came out, was kind of a headache to get it to work, but after digging through some forums and talking and digging through ProtonDB, people having discussions, they're like, hey, do this command and it'll work. And I was like, oh, bam. And then I had a way to script it out where it would run that command if I launched that game. Kind of. It wasn't good. I lost my Hitman game too, and I don't know, I don't remember, I don't have a way to, like, restore it, because I bought it through the fucking, what's it called? Origin app. Oh my god! And they still say that I didn't. Fucking whatever. I was very salty about that. So I lost Hitman, and I don't know how to return it, and I don't care. But remember, always keep a backup of your games, and if you can get physical. And physical and play on a console, then just do it that way. PC, you're kind of fucked. it's all digital, but I don't know. Steam's been somewhat okay. I think Steam's okay. But back to, I digress. I can't find software that I've not been able to use. I have, like, an alternative pretty much for every single software that I used to use. What do you call it? I use Alternative 2. And it's probably one of the few websites that isn't fucking annoying. ByteDance's apps like CapCut, Lemon 8, and Marvel Snap banned in the U.S. file TikTok ban. I don't know what the fuck Marvel Snap is, to be honest. See, I don't play it. So, like, they'll have apps, and then it'll tell you if it's freemium, proprietary, if it's open source, if it's free, Focal Notes, freemium, proprietary, Linux, Android, tells you what operating systems it works on. It's great. They have a lot of good alternative apps I have found. It's probably the best so far at what it does. It just does it's very trendy though, so it's like chat with a private and local large language models, or like a lot of AI stuff is on here, or like RCal, designed for families, couples, and the offer end-to-end encryption, sharing calendars events privately, which. Proprietary, I don't know if I fucking trust that. But you can click on that app and then, again, with Linux. Hey, does this work on Linux? Hey, what are the alternatives to this? And that's generally what I do. I mean, that's how I find most of my apps, and I find most of them through this, and I use them. I use them myself. That's how I find a lot of self-hosting stuff. That's how I find out a lot of apps that work for Linux. I read a couple of reviews, but most of the time it just works. Like it comes with all the software that you want and none of the software you don't need. Unlike Windows, that comes with all the proprietary bullshit, all the telemetry, and all the other stuff that I do not like. And it's just a different experience. Even when I touch Windows today through work and stuff, I get icky. I'm like, this is so boring. It's gross. It's hard. It's hard to use this. I have been running Linux a long time for as my main PC. And I think, God, I hate that. It is not immune to viruses, and I don't think that it's more secure. I'm just looking through all these, like, Linux Professional Institute. That seems like the fucking most fakest website. It says institute, but I think it's a doc, it's a blog. So that's fucking weird. 25th anniversary. Linux is an endless work in progress. I think it's, I don't think it's, I think you can actually just pick up, I think you can just pick up a distro that you work, you like, and just install it. Personally, I used to, I still quite often, once in a great while, I'll go to distro watch. It's where I find all my Linux news with, like, updates, like, Deepin. It'll, on the front page, it'll be like, it'll tell you, like, oh, this just updated. Oh, this is new. Oh, this is this. Like, Tails. Like, Tails has a big oopsie vulnerability right now, and you should go update Tails if you're using it. Or it'll have Dita. Seth Zeppelin has announced the ability of Dita, GNU, Linux, and Arch-based Linux distribution with flexible system installer and customized XFCE desktop design with primarily for more advanced users. Tells you right off the gate. Nubra, I installed this on my friends who never touched Linux in their life. I think this is what they like. They use it for gaming. It's Fedora-based. 4M Linux is a minimal distribution with ships. You have so many... the only thing that I like about Linux is on the distribution side, even though they should be, there shouldn't be, like, there shouldn't, they shouldn't have 5 million distros, thousands different distros, is that you do have a different Linux distribution for very specific use case. Like, if you need something super small and lightweight, this is a miniature Linux distribution focused on four capabilities: maintenance as a system, rescue, multimedia for playing video and DVDs on a multimedia, a mini server using the init daemon, and mystery, providing several small Linux games. The distribution includes support for booting UEFI emissions, etc., whatever. This is, like, very specific, very niche. Or if you want something super small and super... super, like, niche. Like, you're like, say you have a really old laptop and you're like, oh man, I don't want to throw this out and I don't have the money for a new laptop. You can get Puppy Linux. Puppy Linux is small. Puppy Linux is yet another distribution. Which differs here is Puppy is extraordinarily small, yet full featured. I mean, I believe it's Debian based. It's ready to use, ease of use, relatively small, 500 megabytes or less. That's insanely small, half a gig. Fast and versatile, customized within minutes. Can be made permanent with remasters, different flavors. Yes, but what does it look and feel like? It looks chill, and it's using, from the screenshot, 1.5 gigs memory. Blow! Just kidding. First things first. Puppy Linux is not a single Linux distribution like Debian. Puppy is also not a Linux distribution with multiple flavors, like Ubuntu. Though it also comes in different flavors. Puppy is a collection of multiple Linux distributions built on the same shared principle. These are like... they have also a frequent asked question. I mean, say you need a hacking distro. Say you want to get into pen testing. You have Parrot Linux. This is stuff that's just pre-installed. You can do all this yourself. That's the beauty of it. You want any of these Linux distributions. You want any of them. You want anything, obviously within reason. You want any of it, you can just build it yourself. You can build a bare-bones Linux out and just hit it up. Like Elementary, I put Elementary on my friend who was a long time macOS user because their laptop just couldn't fucking not macOS, Windows, Mac to Windows, and their Windows laptop was shit and was slow. So they wanted something very Mac-like, very chill, and Elementary OS worked for them. It was great. It was very... The beginner thing is still fucking retarded, and I don't believe that there's such a thing as a beginner distro. Catchy OS. Is it based on Arch? Focuses on speed and security and optimization. I used it for a couple months. Did not like it. No hate, though. The only hate that I give is to Manjaro and Linux Mint users. I hate Manjaro and I hate Linux Mint users. They can suck it. I'm a Manjaro and Linux Mint hater. I was a Fedora hater, but I'm using Fedora now. So until I find something else, I will be a Fedora enjoyer. And then after that, I will be a Fedora hater again. Once again, there's Alpine. Alpine's crazy small. You can put a DE on Alpine if you want. It's really for servers, but you can technically run it as a distro. Like, it's kind of, it's like 5 megabytes. It's so small. Or you can use it as the command line. Nothing prevents you from just running your entire Linux distro command line based completely. You can 100% base everything on command line. And it uses Muscle, which is Muscle. They have Calculate Linux. It's a Gen 2 based one. I think I tried running this one, and I do not like Portage too much, but you have to compile everything, and you kind of learn. Linux is very depth, very deep, lots of flavors. You have to kind of like sit in chat rooms and listen to a lot if you want to like learn. But it's not imperative. You don't have to. It's not required to. You can just install it and use it, and that's it. That's all you need. Now, why wouldn't you use Linux? I think one of the purposes of Linux, I don't think you should use Linux if you think it's just more secure than Windows. That's just retarded. There are glooming issues with Linux security, and I will go over them kind of loosely. This is an outdated blog, but it is kind of, it's kind of, there's truth to it, and there's a website called PrivSec Dev. Linux insecurities. There's a common misconception amongst privacy communities that Linux is one of the more secure operating systems, either because it's open source or because it's widely used in the cloud. However, this is far from ready. Comparing a Linux desktop environment to also a Linux server, is fucking retarded. Full transparent on that one. You are retarded if you actually compare a Linux desktop environment, because Linux servers exist. Linux servers strip out so much shit they don't need for good reason. This is why Alpine Linux is preferred on servers, because it's lightweight. It removes what you don't need, so to reduce the attack surface. And they are constantly monitored and locked down, unlike your fucking desktop. There's a very in-depth technical blog explaining various security weaknesses. These are around, last updated was January 2025. From this blog by Linux by Median, Hunix security researchers. So this person kind of knows what they're talking about. Hunix is superior internet privacy. And you can just go down that whole fucking rabbit hole right there. This page will attempt to address some of the questions commonly raised. I'm going to go over a little bit of this, read, give my thoughts as a Linux user myself. I'm not a security researcher, so I'm just giving my common sense and SI Linux. Why is Linux used on servers? Servers, while most of the problems referenced in this article still exist, they are somewhat less problematic. On desktop, you can run under a user that has full access of all your files in home. This is a pseudo problem. This is the contrast how system daemons typically run servers where they have their own group and users. For example, NGX will run under the NGX on a Red Hat distribution. or www.data. On Debian-based ones, directory access control does help with the file system access control for service processes, but it's useless for desktop applications. This is controlled. This is true. Another thing to keep in mind is mandatory access control is somewhat effective on servers as commonly run systems. There are virtually no AppArmor profile can find even regular use setups like Chrome or Firefox, let alone less common ones. On SELX Linux, these apps run in the unconfined SELO domain. Linux servers are lighter than desktops. Linux systems by sorts of magnitude without hundreds of packages or dozens of systems running like X11, audio servers, printing stacks, and so on. Thus, the attack surface is much smaller. Hence my point. Linux hardening myths. WAC verified boot. This is true. Android, Mac OS, and Chrome OS have a clear distinction between the system user installed applications. In oversimplified terms, the system volume is signed by the OS vendor and the firmware bootloader works to make sure that the said volume is authorized signature. Meanwhile, in Linux, there's no clear distinction. I believe Trench Boot is working on this, but that could be forever out and all the distributions have to accept it. And then there is a problem with UEFI and BIOS. If I don't think that's even used really anymore because it's old. I think it's a legacy. I don't know. But not the point. So the problem with Linux, from what I've read, there's no uniform on security, which is fine, whatever. People should have that choice, but you should know it. I think 2FA should be mandatory for everything because it secures accounts. But then again, I'm taking away people's choice and freedom. I don't know. We can argue about that until the cows come home. It doesn't really mean anything. I agree with what they're saying. There's no uniformity. Lack of application sandboxing. This is huge. Android and Chrome OS have full system mandatory access control. That is, every process from the init process is strictly confined, regardless of which application you install and how you install them. They have to play the rules of an untrusted SELX domain and are only able to utilize unprivileged APIs. Even on macOS, where the application set sandbox is opt-in for developers, there is still permission control system. Of Linux, it is quite the opposite. Out the box, most systems have fewer system demons commands, sudo. Linux distributions don't even have a mandatory access control system at all. Applications are designed in an environment where they are expected to be able to do whatever they want, and the app sandbox mandatory access control system are merely an afterthought. If this was boring to you, you can just go read the article and skip ahead. I'm just giving, these are like things that I need to read and like point out and have my own thoughts. This is reflective in unrealized Portals API as an example. Portals is designed to be an API where apps have to prompt the user to access their files or their microphone and camera. Unfortunately, the vast majority of apps are not designed with this in mind and accept direct access from the file system, pulse audio socket, or the entire /dev. As a result, Flatpak maintainers often opt to have extremely lax permissions to the point where they have to grant file system equal home, file system equal host, sock, equal pause audio, and device all. Otherwise, apps will break and give users bad experience. To make matters worse, some system daemons are not designed with permissions control in mind at all. For example, pause audio does not have any concept of audio in or out permission. Thus, the user is often left with only the choice of granting apps access to the socket or not. If they want to block microphone access, they have to block access at the socket. Thus, breaks the audio playback and the process. If they do not want an audio playback, they have to allow access to audio socket, which in turn gives the app unrestricted access to record them at any moment. The only way to systematically fix this problem is to design a whole new system from scratch with a permission model of like that of Android in mind. And even when that happens, it will take substantial work to get developers to develop apps for the said system. But Linux is open source. Yeah, the open source part is fucking annoying to me. Being open source doesn't imply inherently private or secure or trustworthy. I recommend and reading Flaw Security. I agree with this because there was fucking poll that was in the Linux kernel for like 10 years. And it was... Yes, it would have never... 10 years, though. That's a long time. That's a fucking hell of a long time. Secure by irrelevance does not work. Just because there are a few users does not mean make it any safer. Ask yourself this. Would you ditch Windows for React OS because it's a lot less popular than less targeted? Likewise, would you ditch Linux desktop when it becomes the mainstream solution for the BSD or some niche operating system just because they're less popular? Malware for Linux does exist. It is not hard to make. It can be something as trivial as a shell script or a binary execution. Due to the lack of application sandboxing or application permission model, your computer can be compromised the moment you execute malicious binary, shell script, or an install script without, with or without root, with or without an exploit. This, of course, not to discount the fact that many exploits do exist on the Linux, just like any other operating system as well. He is right. They have ways that you can fix this and address this. There are things that you need to understand that it is not going to be perfect. And once you understand this and you acknowledge this, there are Linux options you have that can be quote unquote more secure because they put these in place. Fedora, immutable operating systems, or I think Atomic, I'm trying to be correct on this, is something that you can be pretty much you need to understand. Like Debian, a lot of these long-term supports are not always safe. Traditional and Atomic updates. Traditionally, Linux distributions updates sequentially updating the desired packages. Traditional updates such as those used for Fedora, Arch, Linux, and Debian-based distributions can be less reliable if errors occur while updating. Distributions that use Atomic updates apply updates in full or not at all. Typically, transactional update systems are also Atomic. Again, this doesn't bother me because I don't keep sensitive information on my desktop. Personally. Obviously, that's not an excuse, but I also don't do a lot of sensitive stuff on my laptop. I have a completely separate secure operating system that I think is... A reasonably secure operating system that I use for most of that, and that's CubesOS. Because it sandboxes everything. Everything's in a virtual machine. And you can still be retarded and make oopsie-daisies. There's Arch-based distributions. Arch Linux has a very updated package with minimal downstream patching. That being said, Arch-based distributions are not recommended for those who are new to Linux, regardless of the distribution. Arch does not have a distribution update mechanism for the underlying software choices. As a result, you have to stay aware that current trends and adoption technology support are... I don't agree with that. I think you can do fucking... I think you can use Arch. Arch Linux was not far off from one of my first distro hops, by the way. I used Arch for a very long time. I ran into some issues, but nothing that someone couldn't figure out. You'd have to be pretty retarded. For secure system, you're also expected to have sufficient Linux knowledge to properly set up a secure system, such as adopting mandatory access control systems, setting up kernel module backlisting, and hardening boot parameters, manipulating syscal parameters, and knowing what computers you need, such as Polkit. It was Polkit was the big fucking oopsie. It had an discovery 3 years ago. I remember this. PwnKit. It was called PwnKit. It was fucking wild. The vulnerability dates back to 2009, by the way. That's 11 years. It was sitting there for fucking ever. I'm probably bad at math and I'm wrong. But whatever. And it might be esoteric and you might have not ever dealt with it. There was Manjaro. They hold their packages back for 2 weeks for whatever reason. And then Garuda. I used Garuda for a long time. Chaotic RS, which is automatically and blindly compiles package from the AR. There's no verification process. Kick Secure. While you should not use outdated list distributions like Debian, if you decide to use it would be good. Kick Secure is apparently a set of scripts to configure and package and make it a little bit more security. Security-focused distributions are pretty much fucking retarded. Linux Libre kernel and Libre distributions. I'm going to disagree with everything he says here. I'm a Libre enjoyer. Desktop environments. Apparently, Wayland is developed with security in mind, and it does help fight the X11. X11 doesn't support GUI isolation, GUI isolation, allowing Windows to pretty much record screen, log, and inject inputs in other world Windows, which is a big no-no. And while there are other options to run nested X11 sessions, such as Xpro or Xperia, they often come with negative performance. Recommended to be systems. Fedora Workstation. He's like, do that. OpenSUSE, Tumbleweed, and Eon, Hunix. No cubes? This guy is a cubes hater. Hunix security disadvantages. I'll have to read that later. Some features include also Tor stream isolation, keystroke anonymization, boot locking randomization, boot clock randomization, encrypted swap. Cubes is based. If this guy is a cubes hater, fuck him. But that's okay. Why cubes over other virtualizers? I think cubes is probably the most secure Linux distribution, reasonably secure Linux distribution you can use. But not everyone's going to fucking use it. Micro OS desktop should be enabled. Oh, nice. OpenSUSE. Aeon has a much smaller U-base than Tumbleweed and months mounts the running Butterfly system only. Really. Okay. So, yeah, because pretty much it's immutable means that it's a read-only file system. It mounts the running ButterFS subvolumes as read only, and it prevents like changing or something. It's immutables are technically more secure, but Fedora generally adopts newer technologies, distributions such as Wayland and PipeWire. PipeWire is apparently to greatly improve the handling of audio and video under Linux and provide lower latency, and I think it's supposed to be more secure. You have to remember that. Like, when you have a Linux distribution that gives you unlimited privileged access, that's bad. You can just blindly download software and not verify it, and then it's, you know, sucking all your hentai pictures out of your file system. This is my personal take. If security is your base model, just go use Mac OS. Trust Apple. Be my guest. I think that would be better. If you truly don't know what the fuck you're doing, minimal data given to it. Same thing with Windows. Use Windows. Don't have an administrator account. There's ways you can lock down Windows and remove a lot of the fucking telemetry. That's it. End of story. Click off. Go off, queen. Look up and then start looking up how to lock down Windows. And there's really good channel called Security Channel. Welcome back, my friends. Nope. The PC Security Channel. Securing Windows, I think. So you've been hacked. He gives, can a firewall save you from being hacked? He does a lot of stuff, like a lot of step throughs. Stop Windows from spying with this firewall. This ransomware hacked, blah, blah, blah. He does a lot of really good, in-depth, very quick, Zoomer edity type of content. It's the PC Security Channel is like really good. I listen to some of his stuff. Cybersecurity for everyone. Stay informed, stay secured. The malware hacked Lens Tech Tips. Is your PC hacked? Commando Internet Security Pro. He does especially 12 years on this fucking platform. Absolute Giga Chad. Does a lot of information. There's also Chris Titus Tech. I think he uses Windows, I believe. I think there's reasons he uses Windows. I don't know why the fuck he doesn't use Linux. I think he does use Linux, actually. I'm not entirely sure. Or he does speed up. He does use Windows as his daily. I think there's reasons. I haven't watched him in a long time, and I believe he uses Windows still, which kind of sucks. I just hate Windows. I'm a Windows hater. Fuck you, Bill Gates. If you're listening to this, I fucking hate you and Windows. This is 20% Linux talk and 80% me fucking hating Windows. I just don't really like proprietary software. But with all those caveats and disclaimers and out in the wild, this is like something that you should consider if you want to switch to Linux. And you need to understand that all these blogs are just SEO'd to get you to fucking click on their shit and not actually just discover it and learn it in RTFM. Fuck these, except for distrowatch.com. I love them. They're not really a blog. But Linux Professional Institute. This looks like dog shit. I hate it. I hate the internet because all they do is fucking just cram 30 ads. Like, it's FOSS. It's FOSS. Oh my god. The Become a Better Linux User is a bunch of bullshit. 7 Raspberry Pi based laptops and tablets for tinkerers. FOSS Weekly. Don't believe these myths about dual booting Linux and Windows. Who the fuck makes myths? Dual booting slows down your system? Dual booting is just retarded. Who said you need two disks to dual boot? Who the fuck thought of that? God. It's like this is AI generated allegedly. Trademark, just kidding. I don't know. It's awful. But minus this dog shit, there is a really good website that I used. There's two good websites I used to learn a lot about Linux, minus YouTube. There is Linux, this is going to be a blog, Linux Foo. Oh, no, that's not it. Linux Journey. This is it. Learn the way of Linux Foo, like Kung Fu, for free. They give you getting started, command line, text foo, advanced foo, user management, permissions, process, path. This helps you deeply understand what you're doing, the journeyman devices, the file system, the boot system, the kernel. Learn about the stages of Linux boot process, the most important part, the kernel, the init process, utilization, logging, understanding logging is good, network sharing, networking bases, subnetting, routing, stuff like that. Troubleshooting DNS. All these things are good to learn. And you can give them your email address and kind of figure out, like, hey, this is cool. Like, this is how this works. And I think that it would be invaluable information. There is TryHackMe. They have some information on Linux. There's YouTubers. There's DistroTube. He's been on YouTube for a long time. 250,000 subscribers. Pretty much talks about open source and Linux and has his own opinion on it, on stuff. And it's pretty cool. I think he gives relatively good takes. There is that one guy, I think he's British, Brody Robinson. Blazingly fast, customizable Linux. It always looks marketing to me. Brody Robinson. He gives good information. There's the Linux Experiment. He kind of like gives his opinion. There's some ordinary gamers. He's not really a Linux channel, but Mudahar does a lot. Talks a lot about Linux. Clint, there's Christian Limpia. They fucking give all their, like, they talk about home labbing a lot. These are all good places to like start in Linux. There's Fireship. He talks about Linux sometimes, but quick. Brody Robinson's is okay. He's like, he sounds British. Then there's the Prime Time. He's like a developer, but they all talk about like Linux and like stuff like that. It's it
It's all good. It's all good stuff.
And then there's Learn Linux TV. He goes super in depth. The two OGs was this in Lawrence Systems. He doesn't really talk about Linux as much, but he does talk about home labbing and some other stuff, and like pfSense, etc., etc. But yeah, their Learn Linux TV. He has a ton of content. Install Arch for the first time. Great VMware alternatives. Linux, 10 things I wish I knew when I first started. Easy, digestible, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes an hour. The complete guide to open SSH. Very good tutorials. Dual boot, Ubuntu, and Windows 11. Woo! Wow, 3 years ago. Windows 11's been out that long. That's terrible to remember. That's an awful memory, core memory I have. I remember when Windows 11 came out, and I was like, I thought Windows 10 was supposed to be your last one, but it wasn't, and it's kind of dumb. I just think that you should have the freedom and the choice to install whatever operating system you want. If you want to install Hannah Montana OS, you should be able to. If you want to install Temple OS, you should be able to. That is the main problem, is all of this software comes pre-installed. You're paying for the Windows key in the fucking product, probably, if you go through it. And it sucks because you now don't have... I think it's because it's installed, you just don't have a choice. And because you don't have a choice, you literally... because you don't have a choice, you just default to Windows. You're like, fuck it, whatever. What's the point? Why would I install Linux if this just works? And it's sad to me. Me, after I installed one distro, I was like, hop, 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 distro hop, distro hop, distro hop. I had good times, I had bad times, I had headaches. And it got me into self-hosting, and it got me into really appreciating free and open source software on a lot of levels. And it's made me grown to appreciate free and open, not only just free and open source software, but the thankless things that these developers do, sometimes for no money. They just maintain it, or they just do these great things. And it's just like, it just goes on things. So support your local dev, hand him money. Definitely install Linux. Don't let these things scare you. You should definitely install it. Actually, right now, go on the dark web, get some illegal Linux distros and test them out. I think that would be the most based option. And if you do, remember to share this video with your friends and tell them to do the same thing, because Linux is a call. Thank you, guys. I will see you in a couple of days with some other stuff, and I hope that you enjoyed this and you share it with your friends, and so that I can get $1 million from each view, because I have sold out. I am now a sellout. Thank you. You have a good night. Bye.